Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is Friday, January 15th. Hi, Kelsey.
Hello.
And you tell me you're still sick.
I am a little bit.
What are we going to do with you?
I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting over this one. I'm actually not usually very susceptible to colds and flu, but this one has been pretty bad. And, you know, I got on antibiotics, so I'm hoping that kind of clears it up.
Yeah, that makes it pretty serious. I mean, if you have to take antibiotics.
You know. I just started them last night, so I'm hoping it'll kick in. But, yeah, still just, you know, clogged up and nasty. So
So you have a cold, right? Do you think it's the flu?
I think it's just
something?
A cold. Yeah, that's what the doctor said. So
I mean, it doesn't seem as bad. Some people with the flu and stuff, they really seem bad.
No, it's not the flu. I'm not running, you know, a really high fever or anything.
Good.
But yes, it's just this perpetual stuffiness and nasty stuff. So I'm excited to get over it.
Oh, well.
Come on.
But I'm proud of you. You still work. You still do what you have to do.
I know. I was actually supposed to go to Dana Point after this show, but the nasty weather is hampering my plans.
Yeah, and you guys shoot outdoors.
We do.
So it's got to look nice.
It's exactly. And, you know, if it's cloudy and nasty, you can't even see the ocean. So,
really, yeah.
Yeah, and it just kind of defeats the whole purpose. So that's the thing about being in the video production business is we have to wait and sometimes play things by ear as far as shooting goes.
According to the weather and stuff.
Yeah, it makes it harder, but it's okay.
For those of you who don't know, Kelsey makes, like, fitness videos and things like that, and they film it, shoot them outdoors. And it always looks nice and colorful and blue sky and sunny.
Right.
So you don't want to shoot when it's overcast. And
no,
stuff.
We go to the beach a lot. And then, you know, we shoot at friends' houses in, like, Bel Air and Malibu and Beverly Hills around that area. So, yeah, it has to be pretty weather for sure. And sunny. And, you know, it's just miserable if it's cold and rainy, too. So that's a deterrent.
Wow. So, well, hopefully you'll feel better over the weekend. You'll head. I mean, are you working a lot this weekend too, or are you gonna
rest? Actually, the first Sunday is a full day, but Saturday tomorrow, I actually don't think I'm doing anything. And then today, the first order of business is getting a new phone.
Oh, really?
Yes, my phone. Okay,
what happened to it?
It fell in the toilet.
Oh no!
I know.
An iPhone? Do you have an iPhone?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was kind of getting to the end of its natural working life anyways.
Really?
It's getting a little old. Yeah.
What model was it? Like the 5?
It is a 5, yeah. It's a 5. And so, you know, the home button isn't working. So I have to get that little thing that you can install where it allows you to do everything the home button does.
Oh, really?
When it's not working. Yeah. Oh. So that's fine. I mean, it's not that big of an inconvenience. But, you know, little things like that. And then now I dropped it, let's see, a couple days ago, and it was working fine for about a day. And then last night, it just started acting up like crazy. Like, when I open my email app, it'll just shut down. And so I can't check my email. And it's incredibly frustrating because I'm such an addict, which is funny that it happened. It's probably kind of good for me in a way because I am addicted to my phone. I'm just part of that generation that is just attached to it. And so it's doing me some good, I think, to be not so tied to it all the time. But yeah, I can't even check my email or Facebook.
That feels like weird, right?
Yes. For whatever reason, Instagram is still working. You guys, if you don't follow me, it's at KelseyBohlen. You should follow me on Instagram. I'm always posting lots of fun stuff.
There you go. And she always posts like millions of hashtags that you would never think about.
I know.
They're like funny and stuff.
Oh, I know? I do. Yeah. I post a lot of stuff.
It's like you check out the picture and you hashtag everything about it.
I know, I love it because I'm actually starting to get endorsements and things like that through my Instagram.
Really?
Yeah, like I get emails offering clothing sponsorships, and I've even gotten some jewelry sponsorships.
Nice.
And things like that. So, and protein supplement sponsorship. So, yeah, wow. It's exciting.
Yeah. Well, the benefits of looking great, you know? Everybody loves a beautiful woman. Do you feel that like opens doors for you that probably wouldn't have been opened if you weren't as pretty, let's say?
Yes and no. Sometimes I think it's the best thing in the world, and sometimes I think it's a curse even, you know?
Really?
Yes, because
Like everyone hits on you all the time and stuff? Does that bother you?
That doesn't bother me
so
much.
No, you like it. It's a compliment.
Yes, yeah. I don't mind that, but it is... It's funny because you never really know what people's intentions are.
That's true.
Yes, and I feel like maybe if looks aren't your strong point, if your strong point is something else, and, I have other strong points.
Yeah, well, obviously.
But, you know, if that's not an obvious strong point, your beauty, then, you know, maybe people don't gravitate to that right away, and maybe they don't...
They don't, like, give you the time of day or something?
Well, for example... I think beauty gets you in the door a lot of times, but like intelligence and personality and character make you stay. So that's kind of how I see it. But, you know, there's a flip side to everything. Like sometimes people see like a really pretty girl and they're like, oh, she's just a pretty face. And they don't give her the time of day because she's pretty. You know, so it can almost work against you in certain ways as well. So, you know, it's hard to say.
That's true. But you know what? I mean, the thing is that I think it speaks for itself. You know, anytime somebody just puts up a picture of a pretty woman without even any captions or anything, 300 likes, you know, it's like, you know, all these guys, oh, you're so beautiful. You saw this, you saw that. And you go, it's so predictable, you know?
Oh, I know.
So everybody loves a beautiful woman.
You know, it's so funny because... we just laugh about, my boyfriend and I just laugh about like the number of private messages I get on Instagram. Yes, I mean, like, from people I don't even follow.
Right.
I mean, it's just like all of these private messages, like, hey, how you doing? Like, you know, just predictable.
Yeah, I know.
Stuff.
That's what I mean, you know? So that's the thing, but it keeps your life exciting, you know? I mean, obviously, you know. There's always someone paying attention to you and stuff.
I mean,
so
you can't blame them for trying.
I know. And it's funny how people try to pick up other people on Facebook and stuff and Instagram. And I guess it does work, you know, for some people or something, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you would expect it to work since people get to meet each other there and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And those social media. But I also learned not to use that as a measurement of what people think and how they are, you know. Because remember, on the internet, people are like anonymous. Even if it's on Facebook and people know who you are, people still say things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they say things they wouldn't normally.
Well, I've learned to just develop such a thick skin because, you know, running the YouTube channel, now we're...
You get a lot of haters and
stuff. Yes. Now we're up to about, you know, 305,000 subscribers, which is exciting.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so funny. We were laughing, me and one of my girlfriends were laughing about this the other day, and... It was so funny because literally on the same video, you know, most people are like, oh, Kelsey, we love you. Thanks for the workout. Like, it was great. I feel awesome. I sweated a lot. It was great. And, you know, it's the vast majority are positive comments.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because on the same video, within about an hour of each other, this one girl was like, you look anorexic. You're like a stick figure. Can't you gain some weight? I know. And then literally,
wow.
I know. And then literally 30 seconds later, this girl's like, you could really tone up. Like,
really?
I know. And I mean, she's like, you have a little extra. And we were just like, this is hilarious. You know,
it is.
Like somebody's always going to have something to say.
Yeah.
You know, you're too tall. You're too short. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too this. You're too that. You know, you just can't even listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't please everybody, you know. So just be who you are. And hopefully the people you meet will like who you are.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. I see our guest, I think, is trying to call. So let me just previously just tease this. We're going to be talking to a listening expert, and we're going to find out about communication and everything, which is cool because yesterday we had a body language expert here, and we're also talking about communication and so forth. So that should be interesting. So I just wanted to let you know that before we take the call. So they'll call back in a few minutes, I'm sure. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, people are like, it doesn't matter what you do. People are always like, you know, you'll have haters. You'll have people that are good. And if you notice that on social media, usually you'll have the people that are sort of like on your side. They always support you, you know.
Sure.
They'll always like a comment or agree with you or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have the people that are not so nice. And good thing we can unfriend them sometimes. You
exactly.
Know?
You know, yeah. Some people just like to troll because they have nothing better to do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. But yeah, so I've been driving everybody crazy with my virtual reality.
Oh my gosh.
Goggles that I have. I let you try those.
They're so cool.
Yeah, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, but we're going to take our guest now. And we have Leslie Shore on the line. Leslie, are you with us?
I am definitely with you, Sam.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for calling in. Kelsey is here with me.
Hello.
And how are you, Kelsey?
Good.
And we're excited you called in. Where are you calling us from this morning?
The chilly area of the United States called Minnesota.
Oh,
oh my God. A lot of people are making jokes about Minnesota this winter on Facebook and stuff because it's so cold, you know. It's just like, it seems like probably the coldest part of this country, right?
Well, it has to be. Someone has to be cold, someone has to be warm, and someone has to be just right. And I believe that's L.A. and San Francisco.
There you go. There you go. Have you been to L.A. before?
I've been to L.A., and I lived in San Francisco for about 10 years back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So why would you move out of all places to Minnesota? Is that where you're originally from? Of all the places
That's
in the
great
world.
That's a question.
Yeah.
when it comes down to it, family is paramount, and I decided to make the move to get back closer to my family, and that was absolutely the right thing to do.
Oh, great.
That's a great thing. I know. Family is really the best.
Yes, I miss my family out here. They're from Texas.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure eventually you'll talk them into moving here. You know? Yeah. But, no, the funny thing is, just briefly, I went to... I used to have a girlfriend in that came from Minnesota. So one time we went to visit a family in Minneapolis, and I just could not comprehend how different lifestyle you have there, where you have to you know, shovel out your car and your driveway, and you know, you slip and you trip on the ice. I mean, I wasn't even dressed for it. I came with like leather-soled shoes. And I was like all over the place, you know. So, and the car would get stuck in the ice. So, it's a different lifestyle altogether, right?
It is, and it's not just the physical part of it, Sam. It's the way that people in the central part of the country actually pace themselves. I am originally a Bostonian, and obviously I lived on the West Coast, and those are faster-paced geographic areas of the United States. You get to the central part, and it's wonderful. It actually slows down a bit.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes I think we wouldn't mind living in such climate. You know, I mean, it's got its pluses too. And, you know, it doesn't get too hot. Although it does get hot and humid there in the summer, right?
It does a little bit, but let me tell you.
Yeah.
Summer is wonderful. Spring is glorious.
Oh, wow.
Fall is gorgeous. And four seasons, it's not so bad.
Exactly. Exactly. And we miss that here, you know. But anyway, enough about the weather, Leslie. You're the author of the book "Listen to Succeed," and apparently this is being used as a textbook in some universities. What is the book about, Leslie?
Well, Listen to Succeed is about understanding what your particular barriers are to effective listening. And one of the things that I found out as I was doing my master's work was that people were talking about active listening. And that's wonderful. But unless you know what your barriers are to listening, you can active listen all you want. And the issue is that you are still not pushing aside the barriers that you need to in order to effectively listen to the other person. And that is why I wrote the book, and that is also why I created the Listening Assessment Profile, which allows you to actually figure out what your particular barriers are.
Oh, wow, interesting. So you're saying that somebody can actually think they're actively listening and they're not?
Yes. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
And this is a personal example. Someone in fourth grade actually used the word ugly and called me ugly. And I never told anybody about it.
Wow.
And the issue became I internalized it. Mm-hmm. And so when someone would use the word ugly, I would go into this rant inside my head saying, don't they know that ugly's on the inside, not the outside? They could use a word like plain or something like that. But what happens is when I was going through that rant, I had already stopped listening to what the person was saying.
Right.
So that particular barrier is negative words, which is inside the emotional and historical major barrier.
Right.
So you can see that I had stopped listening completely.
I see. Okay. So tell us some of the things. How can we remove some of these barriers? You know, because and we should talk about the importance of listening, you know, because I think
yes. And
I think we read and hear a lot about the fact that people don't listen enough. They're too busy talking, right? Or just hearing or
yes,
just hearing but not really listening.
The issue is, especially in the United States, we have this thing about the speaker holds all the power, and therefore people want to speak much more often than they want to listen.
Wow.
And the reality is that the power is really with the listener, because that listener can actually improve the self-esteem of the person to whom they're listening, because that person feels valued. They feel heard. And if you are known as a listener, believe me, you are respected above and beyond that person that is known as a talker.
Right. And that makes sense, you know. Go on.
I think part of this is understanding that Churchill, I believe, said it best when he said, to speak is gold, is silver, but to listen is gold.
Mm. Yeah. I like everything that Churchill said, so okay.
Me too.
I'll take that.
And one of the things my grandmother said, and she was one of the reasons I started doing this work, she said, listen without judgment and wait for the period at the end of the sentence before formulating a reply. And this is something that's very difficult to do.
It is difficult, you know, especially here on the radio. I always have to be ready with the next question and stuff based on what you answer, you know. So it is hard to listen and articulate what you're going to say at the same time.
And the thing is, that's the misnomer of multitasking. You really can't do both well. Mm-hmm. At the same time, one of the things, again, that I think that Americans just really don't understand is that silence can be golden. Those 3 to 4 seconds in between your finishing listening and then formulating a reply, again, honors the person who has just spoken, that you're actually listening to what they're saying, and your reply makes sense.
That's true.
And that's a really good thing.
Right. And, you know, I mean, the point you made about the speaker or the talker holding all the power in the conversation makes so much sense, you know. If you noticed, Kelsey, when two people talk or conversate with each other, the listener is expected to look at the talker the whole time, the speaker. But the speaker can look around and doesn't have to look into the eyes.
Right.
You know, did you notice that?
I have noticed that.
It's not, I mean, it's rude not to look at the speaker, but it's okay for the speaker not to look at the listener. Is that correct, Leslie?
It's very true, Sam. I think one of the things that is can be very difficult for speakers is to hold that eye contact if it's a single person. And instead of looking around, if they just cast their eyes down for a moment and bring it back up, that can give them the break that they need. But they don't have to look way off to one side or the other, because then at that particular point, the listener is going, okay, what's going on there? And to your point about body language, what is that body language saying? And is it the same as what's coming out of their mouth? So there could be a dissonance that happens there.
Right. And, yeah, and, you know, the thing is that I noticed, like, with some people, you'll talk to them, really nice people, but they don't know how to listen. They will look around when you talk to them. And I think, to me, it's the most distracting thing, because I'm feeling I'm talking to the wall, you know, because they're not really listening.
Yes.
So you're saying a listener should, like, mirror the speaker as well, right?
The listener, well, when we talk about mirroring the speaker, in terms of body language, if the speaker is relaxed, the listener should be relaxed. If the speaker is in a posture of, you know, kind of an upright posture, that's the way the speaker, the listener should also be.
Right.
But what's really cool is that the listener, in giving good eye contact, in nodding their head, in letting the speaker know that they are totally present for them and that the listener's ego is out of the way, then the speaker actually lowers their blood pressure and they're in a position of feeling more comfortable in terms of what it is that they're saying. It's a really amazing thing.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, you know. And I think, well, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Leslie Shore. She's the author of Listen to Succeed, How to Identify and Overcome Barriers to Effective Listening. And this sounds very interesting. Now, you have a website, too. It's called listentosucceed.com. And and I can see people can get the book and information on it and everything. What else can people find on your website?
Well, they can also find the Listening Effectiveness Profile, which is the assessment that allows them to pinpoint their specific barriers so that they can take action in terms of minimizing those barriers' effect on their listening. And the book actually goes through every single barrier, what it is, how you know it is up for you, and what to do about it. And so that is obviously there on the website. I also do seminars, and I also have my blog where I talk about specific things that come up either in the news or someone will say to me, oh, my teenager won't listen to me.
Yeah,
and that's my next blog that I'm going to be talking about, because teenagers will model what your communication style is. So I want to talk about the fact that perhaps you're not listening to your teenager in a way that they feel heard.
Yeah. I've so that's seen what the that blog so many times. Really? Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, well, Kelsey, I can say that the poor teenagers get a bad rap.
Well, maybe deservedly so, you know. What can I say?
But I have to say, though, that in terms of all relationships, whether it's employees talking to one another, whether it's doctor-patient, whether it's counselor-client, whether it's teacher-student, whether it's spouse and significant other. All of these relationships can improve their communication by improving their listening.
Right.
And that's what everything I'm doing is about.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's like I think sometimes of when I get into an argument and stuff, I don't really listen. You know, I just want to get my point
That happens
across.
A lot. I think people just see red and they, you know, start screaming what is in their head at that very moment.
And you know something, Kelsey, one of the best things about recognizing that in the moment is being able to say to the other person, you know something, and this is what my parents did, we need a timeout. Let's get back together in 10 minutes, an hour, or whatever the case might be,
mm-hmm.
and let's go back at this being adults yeah. instead of in a child or a parent tape. And it's very interesting. Their use of the time out literally took the anger out, and they were able to come back in a much different way and able to listen to each other.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool, you know, because I think people need to understand that if you don't carry a civilized conversation, nobody's listening. You know, I mean, it's
yep.
just like nobody's listening. I know I'm not. And then when I realize the other person is not listening, then you start shouting because, and that's why I think people shout and raise their voices, because you do that when somebody's not listening to you, you know, and you go,
yeah.
you're not hearing me, you know, so let me repeat it again twice as loud, you know.
And Sam, to your point, there are two ways of going with that. You can either shout and use different tone of voice and words.
Wow.
Your word choice gets a little bit adjective laden in the negative way, shall we say?
Yes.
Or you completely withdraw and the other person feels icicles coming at them.
Mm.
So it can go one way or the other, but you're absolutely right. If you do not feel heard, that means you do not feel valued, and how you handle that is one of two ways.
Yeah, that's true. It makes sense. Leslie Shore, the book is Listen to Succeed. You can also go to her website, listentosucceed.com. There's probably like links. I see there's links to all the social media and everything and email, so you guys
mm-hmm.
can contact Leslie. Do you do like special projects, let's say, for businesses or schools or individuals?
Oh, yes.
I
do seminars kind of all over the place. I work with counties. I work with schools. I work with nonprofits. I work with corporations. It's really all over the board, and those people that find me and I come to, I know that they have a renewed idea of what communication could really be like, and they have a common vocabulary that they can use with one another when they catch each other not listening. And it's very funny when I hear them say, "Oh, you're having a barrier to effective listening," and then the chuckle
oh my gosh.
Happens.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's just great.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm looking at the listening effectiveness profile, and that's what you guys can get when you take the assessment, I suppose, on the website
yes.
under tools. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, it looks pretty interesting. I mean, I like to know like how into listening I am. You know, I don't know if I am or not, but I know that, listen, I can tell you this, I must be listening well, because usually the interviews like this one, I don't really prepare. I don't know what I'm going to ask until I hear what you have to say. So obviously, you know, I mean, sometimes I'm like, I'm totally like, I go blank because I had a thought and I wanted to say it while I was listening. And of course, I forget it. So for me, it's very important to listen, because otherwise there wouldn't be any interview, and I wouldn't know what to ask.
Exactly.
You know?
But I could tell, Sam, you've been doing this a while.
I've been doing this a while. Thank God I have at least that talent where I can, like, listen and plan the response and the question at the same time. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're a lot of fun, full of information. And we recommend everybody to pick up the book, Listen to Succeed, Leslie Shore. You can get it anywhere or on the website as well, listentosucceed.com. Leslie, thank you so much for joining. Of course, thank you for joining us. And try to stay warm where you are. Is it snowing today?
Not snowing, but we're expecting about 25 below by Sunday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Good luck. Stay warm.
Well, there
you
go.
Thank you.
You say your weather is a conversation piece. I mean, we could start with the weather and end the call with the weather. So there you go.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. You know, I mean, that's why I love having guests on the show, because you always learn new things, you know.
That's what's great about it, yeah.
You know, and I learn a lot of things. I connect with people that come on the show, usually the people that come into the studio and stuff, and communicate with them after the show and stuff. And it's really cool, you know. I mean, I feel like I could not even live without doing the show anymore, you know.
Because it's just part of you, yeah.
It is. And the funny thing is, you know, we post like hundreds of pictures of past guests and stuff. And, you know, I mean, sometimes 2-3 weeks later, I don't even remember who they were by the picture. Uh-huh. You know, I have to look at the description to remember. But that's how many people we meet, you know. And at the station, too, last night there was a guest here on one of the shows, and I wanted to ask him if he's been here before. I didn't get a chance to, but then they introduced him as a football player from the NFL, and
I thought,
well, maybe that's how I know him, because although I haven't watched any NFL games for a long time, but I thought maybe so. It would be embarrassing to ask him if I know him, because yeah, you know, he gets asked that all the time, probably, like, do I know you? Well, yeah, I'm famous, you know.
But you've seen me on TV.
Right. But then I remembered this morning that he had been on other shows here as a guest.
Oh, wow.
And I remembered his name. And the funny thing is, I totally went blank last night when he gave me his name. I didn't associate it with anything. And this morning I thought, yeah, I've seen him twice on the show here.
That's what rest will do for you.
Yeah, right?
Gets that brain working good again.
I know. And this morning was so hard for me to get up, because I told you I took Tylenol 3 codeine last night. And it wasn't even going to sleep. I took him in the evening. And my God, it was so hard to get up this morning.
It'll do that. I've been on Sudafed a lot, the real Sudafed, because, you know, now they put it behind the pharmacy counter.
That's true, huh?
Yes, because, I don't know, it's apparently like one of the key ingredients to make meth. I don't know.
Yes.
But so you have to show your ID and blah, blah, blah. So I had to get the real stuff, because the kind that you get, you know, that's not behind the pharmacy counter, it just does not work at all.
Yeah, it's not that strong.
I mean, it doesn't do literally anything.
Yeah.
And so I had to get the real stuff, and so I took that, and then, you know, I was laying in bed when I was really sick, and I thought, this was a couple nights ago, and I thought, oh gosh, well, maybe I should just take some NyQuil, and so I just gulped some NyQuil down, and I just knocked out, wow. And oh, that morning, it was really hard to get up, but it was a deep sleep, so hey.
Yeah, there you go, you see, and when I don't have to get up, I just keep on sleeping, you know, so like tomorrow, I'm probably going to sleep in till like 10 or 11. Or something.
You know, I could do that when I was younger, but now it's becoming harder for me to do that.
But you don't go to sleep that late, right?
I go to sleep by like usually 10:30.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, good for you. So you get plenty of sleep.
I do. I'm miserable without sleep.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Last night I went to sleep at 2. So that's not enough sleep, obviously. You know?
No.
Especially after you take codeine and stuff for your teeth. But
oh yeah, you got to get on a schedule where you're going to sleep a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
at least before midnight, I think.
I know, but that's the thing. My body's not used to it, and it's just like it seems so early. And besides, you know, I mean, sometimes I work. Well, several days I work here in the evening, so I finish at 9 because somebody has to do the video shows here,
right?
In the evening. And so I only get home at 9. So if I went to sleep at 10:30, I wouldn't really have time to do anything, you know.
Exactly.
So I work more at night and stuff, and I just justify it by saying, okay, so I'm working, you know. But still, I wish I could go to bed by midnight. That would be cool.
Yes, I know. That's kind of how it was in Vegas. I mean, when you get off work really late, because, I mean, I was working till about 8:30 by the time I got home. I mean, you know, you didn't want to just go right to sleep, so.
Yeah, exactly.
The nights ended up being a little bit later. Plus, I was in Vegas, so.
Yeah, exactly. But that was after, what, 10 hours of standing on your feet or something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
Wow, that's hard. I mean, I know it's hard to walk around the convention center. After a while, your legs just like you can't even move them anymore.
I know. It was so funny. So, people would, you know, buyers and content providers would, you know, come into our smart home, which was the area that I was presenting at, and they would see the couches and just plop down. And my sweet coworker Kylie and I would be like, oh, we hate you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they had maybe been walking for, what, an hour or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I know.
But I can imagine standing in one place or, you know, just in a general area without being able to sit and stuff. I mean, I'm sure you got a couple of breaks, but it's still not the same.
We did, and it was so funny. In between groups, we kept doing little yoga stretches and everything because just to counteract the effects of standing for so long, because it's really hard on your body.
Yeah.
So we would do forward folds and all kinds of triangle really? Pose, all kinds of stuff to.
Not on the floor of the convention, though, right?
No.
Not where people could see you.
No, we were inside a smart home. Okay. So, you know, we had groups come through. So in between the groups, we would do a little stretching to get the muscles alive again.
Yeah.
Not all crampy.
Yeah. But I guess it's better than sitting down because they're saying that. I mean, did you hear about this? Because they keep publicizing this, that sitting is so dangerous for us. It's more dangerous than smoking. I mean, can you imagine?
That's what they say. How crazy.
I know. How crazy is that? You know, we all sit on our asses all day.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of us are smart enough like you to do some workout and stay in shape and stuff. But people like me, I mean, I sit on my ass all day. It's terrible. Terrible.
I know. So most people do.
Yeah. So, exactly. I mean, we sit everywhere. We don't walk a lot. You go to the store, you see how everybody tries to park as close to the door as possible.
I know.
I park a little farther so I can walk a little bit, but still, it's nothing to counteract all the sitting we're doing.
I know. I mean, if you're blessed enough to have a job where you can incorporate some moving, it's good. But most of us, unfortunately, sit all the time. So many studies have come out saying that it's just terrible for you.
Right.
And I think that we could have expected that.
Yeah, right?
You know, I mean, it's been proven time and time again that moving is the best thing for you. I know my parents have really taken on trying to live a healthier lifestyle, and they're doing really great. My dad has lost a lot of weight. I mean, he doesn't really weigh himself or keep track of it, but he's just been eating lots of protein and not any bread or sweets.
Good
and
for him.
Yeah. So he's like, bring me 5 steaks, please. But it works for him. And I mean, I bet he's lost about 50 pounds. He's really slimmed down. So he looks great. And my mom's doing really well also.
Yeah,
she looks amazing. And so, and then, you know, they're riding the bike every night and getting some cardio in. So, I'm really proud of them. They're doing awesome.
That's cool. You know, it's like I've thought about this before, that the body, you know, when you have like machines, the more you use them, you know, the more likely they are to break down. With the body, it's the opposite. You know, it's like if you don't do something with your body, it's going to break down.
Right.
You know, the more you use it, the better off you are.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't understand that, you know, and we just sit around. We're very comfortable on our couches, on our chairs, in our cars.
And, you know, I've noticed just this past week and a half or so that I haven't been as active because I've been sick. First off, I don't have any energy, so right. I just can't really do anything. I mean, all I really want to do is sleep. It's like pulling teeth to get out of bed because I'm just like, my body is so broken down. But, you know, I noticed the effects of not exercising. You know, your system doesn't work as well. It's not as greased and just, you know, retain more water when you don't exercise. I've noticed that. I do anyways. Maybe not everybody does. But there are lots of effects of having a sedentary lifestyle that aren't good. Just for a little while, you know.
Yeah. No, it's true. And everybody that works out will tell you that it's good for your soul and your mind as well. You know, it's good all around. I think it improves the intake of oxygen and you know, just makes everything work rather than just sit there and disintegrate.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I just got into working out recently, right? When I was younger, I hated it. And I would actually dread athletics in school. And I just think it's a pity how the coaches, not every coach is like this. I don't mean to generalize, but in my case in particular, you know, we had some great teachers, some great coaches, but to put everybody on the same playing field, whether it be academically, athletically, whatever, is just ludicrous. So, yeah. I mean, they would say like, oh, you have to make like whatever, a 6-minute mile to and if not, then you have to run more. And I mean, that's just ridiculous. There shouldn't be punishments for not making a certain time. And that's what I love so much about personal training is you push yourself to your limit. My limit's not the same as somebody else's limit. And I shouldn't compare myself to them and they shouldn't compare themselves to me. And when you create that kind of competitive comparing mindset, you're not comparing apples to oranges, for one.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's or apples to apples, because not everybody's the same. You're comparing apples to oranges, you know? And it's just not fair. It creates this sense of anxiety and fear almost around exercising and being healthy.
Yeah.
And it's just about being healthy. It's not about competing and making a certain limit or whatever.
That's
so
true, yeah.
Once you kind of get that out of your head that's been instilled from birth in school, which was my experience, then you can learn to love how your body feels from exercising and sweating and not pushing yourself to your limit, not anybody else's.
That's true. And I would imagine it's also bad for the kids' self-esteem.
Oh, it's terrible.
When they can't keep up.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's born with certain skill sets.
Right.
And that's why, you know, standardized testing, don't even get me started on that. And all of those, you know, things that we normalize in society, I think are just terrible because not everyone's skill sets are the same and they should not be judged as such.
That's true.
Right.
And you should go after what you're good at.
Right. We're not all dealt the same hand of cards.
Right.
And
I remember my poor son when he was like 5-6 years old. He wanted to play basketball and everybody around him was really good. He couldn't even reach the basket with the ball. You know, I felt so bad for him, but I said, no more basketball for him. It can't possibly do anything good for him.
Right. It's just not fair. Yeah. Like, and, you know, I made really great grades in school and that came very easy to me, but I hated watching my friends struggle. And, you know, I just thought, gosh, it's just not fair because clearly no matter how much they study, no matter how much they prepare, it's just discouraging to them. They should focus on the things that they're good at.
Right.
So, you know,
absolutely. I just think, you know, maybe the coaches are trying to push people a little bit beyond their comfort zone or something.
I get it. I get that.
But you're right about the fact that they probably look down on the kids that don't like make it big, you know.
Right. I get up. You should always push yourself past your comfort zone. I mean, that's the whole, you know, the whole point. And that's how you get in better shape and build muscle and all that stuff. But even that, everyone's breaking point is different,
right?
You know? And so, and also, I think there's a difference between pain and discomfort. You have to learn the difference between pain and discomfort.
Right.
It's okay to be uncomfortable, right? I mean, that's what pushing yourself to your limit is all about, and past your limit. But when it gets to the point of pain, you need to stop. That's not good.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, so many of our educators are unaware of that. And, you know, that's why you see all these kids with injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't push them to the point of pain.
Right.
Because
that's true.
Obviously, that's the body is saying something.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, basically the point I'm trying to make is that you should learn to love working out by going at your own pace.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true. And that makes sense. You know, I think that's the only way it would work out for
you. Yeah. And you get those endorphins flowing and you feel good.
Right.
And, you know, you're still pushing yourself to the point of discomfort, but in a pleasant way. It's not like, oh, I'm such a failure. I didn't... You know, I was last in the race or whatever. No, it's, you know, you get the benefits still.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't have to be a competitive athlete to keep in shape and push yourself a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. Finally, I just wanted to bring up the fact that this morning the Dow Jones plunged 500 points. And I guess the markets are fearful. And because of, you know, oil prices have really gone down, but which is good for the consumer, but it hurts a lot of other sectors in the economy around the world. And so cheap gas, cheap oil or cheap crude oil is not as good as you might think it is. So that's about three or some percent of the value of the market. And that's pretty scary stuff, you know, and to start the year off like this really sucks.
Oh, my goodness. I was reading an article about how life in Saudi Arabia has changed with oil now at $30 a barrel.
Yeah. And well, so, I don't feel any sorry for them. I mean, they got extremely lucky being born on, being situated on top of oil fields, you know. They don't have much else to offer to the world. but yeah, so let them hurt. And you know what? Besides OPEC, which is the oil-producing countries, have put us, have held the world hostage many times before, you know, with the oil and stuff, so... I have no sympathy for them, but let's just hope the economy picks up a little bit. I'm sure the president that has taken credit for the economy now is probably not going to take any responsibility for it dropping, but what do we know? We're not going to start a political conversation when we have two more minutes left.
So,
but hopefully things will pick up, you know, because I don't know. I've been feeling that people are kind of tight with money lately,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think people are feeling an effect of a tightening market and economy. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll feeling see the happens. Pitch, yeah. definitely.
Yeah, feeling the pain. So anyway, the... the debate last night, I didn't even get to watch it. I was doing things. And
I personally just watch it for Donald Trump's reaction.
Yeah, huh?
He is hilarious.
He is. Right?
I find him the most entertaining candidate to ever walk the planet.
I just don't know how good he would be as a president, but he is entertaining and he's shaking, he's rocking the boat.
He's hilarious. And I love how they always do a split screen when somebody's talking about him because
he makes all these faces.
I mean, it's hilarious. Like, I mean, it is so funny. I can't get enough of watching that.
I know. You see, at least he added some excitement to the debate, to the politics. Part of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, today's Friday, which means we get a couple days off, and so do you folks.
Hopefully.
And, yes. And everybody stay warm in the north, stay cool in the south, stay cool, Stay awesome. Kelsey, feel better.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all on Monday.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.